What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So we can talk to Jay Binkley here, or maybe Jay Binkley is talking to Mac about his new job that somebody suggested on X yesterday. I tweeted out CBS should hire Mike Tomlin right now and replace Tony Romo with him, right? And somebody on X, MD Johnston 22, says, I feel like Tomlin and Binkley could also do a mean podcast. Jay, you and Mike Tomlin going to host a podcast?
That'd be fun. I mean, you know,
are his arms Mike long enough?
maybe not. We'd have to measure it.
Bink, can I ask you a personal question? Because I know you don't like either one of these teams, but if you have to root for one of them as a Chiefs fan, Bills or Broncos on Saturday?
Man, and this is the one game, too, Dusty, that I really cannot stand either one of them.
You know the answer.
I mean, here's the one thing. Like, if one of these teams, who could beat New England at the next level unless it's Houston? Houston would be the only team in the AFC that I would go for. But I can't answer because I hate Buffalo and Denver equally because I think they're two of the most annoying fan bases in the NFL.
You're such a coward.
Just say Buffalo.
Well, how can I root for Buffalo? Here's the thing.
How can you root for Denver?
You sat in that stadium when 30,000 fans were there dating a girl just because her dad had season tickets watching, you know, Denver beat our ass.
Well, I'll say Buffalo because I do hate Denver more than anything.
Thank you.
So I'd say Buffalo. But I will say this. Buffalo should feel as lucky as any team in the world. And Sean McDermott should have been fired after that game. They left the Jaguars with 1:04 on the clock, a timeout, and with a kicker that has the two longest field goals in NFL history. That is a fireable offense. Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills are lucky. The Jaguars needed the pens because they peed down their leg at that game. But the Bills are very, very, very fortunate that number 15 wasn't on the other sideline. It took him 13 seconds to tie up a game. They left the Jags 1:04 in a timeout with the kicker that has the two longest field goals in NFL history. That is very fortunate.
Let me ask you this, though, Jay. I mean, I'm not one of these guys who doesn't score. Like, you've got to score. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how much time is on the clock. That's why you go out there and play defense. There's no guarantees. Like, if that's the Chiefs, they don't score inside the red zone hardly ever. I mean, we talk about it all the time, right? Well, so I'm not one of these guys that says, let's just hold it and see what happens. You got an opportunity to score a touchdown. Go score a touchdown. And get out there and play defense. Because what if they did do that and they never did get into the end zone?
Well, because you got to be careful what you do. The 2024 Chiefs did that well. I mean, they looked towards
what
the end
year?
Of the game. Well, last year, the 24 Chiefs did a lot better than last year's. But you watch towards the end of the game, they watched the clock. The clock management is very important. You get down, you have to be cognizant of who's that quarterback on the other sideline.
Sure.
And I don't think they respected Trevor Lawrence at all.
No.
That's why they went ahead and scored. But I'll tell you this much, they wouldn't have gone ahead and scored if it was Patrick Mahomes in his prime there with the Kansas City Chiefs on the sideline. They wouldn't have done it because they wouldn't have won the game. I mean, you have to go into a football game wanting to win it. And if that's clock control down the stretch, it is, because they saw, even just leaving Patrick Mahomes 13 seconds, what could happen. But 1:04 with a kicker with a 68 and 67 yard field goal in his back pocket that happened this year, they're very fortunate.
Yeah, no, it's one of those that you can debate back and forth all day long about whether or not you should score or not score and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just all about put it in the end zone when you can and go out there and play defense. All right, so let's talk a little
only himself, Ben. It must have occurred.
I don't know what's going on. What the hell was going on there, man?
Apparently Twitter's got volume on his computer.
It happens all the time.
Let's talk about national title game, all right? Let's look at Indiana versus Miami. 60-year-old Michael Irvin will be on the sidelines cheering on the Hurricanes. What do you like?
Blown out of his mind, Jay.
You know what, though? I it's hard to go against Indiana. You know, all year when you guys, you know, talk about Indiana, Miami's a great team, but Indiana is just an all-around team. And, you know, we've all heard the stories. They have no five stars. They hardly have any four stars. But they're a team. But I'll say this. You look at how good they are both offensively and defensively. They're the number two scoring offense in the country. We know how good that offense can be. But conversely, they're number two in scoring defense in college football. Their defense is actually metrically better in every category than the Miami Hurricanes. But as good as Miami's defense is, people are sleeping on how good that Indiana defense is. That's just a good, solid team. But once again, guys, this game's going to be loaded with draft picks. Every NFL team will be at this game.
Gotta love
that. I like Indiana.
So speaking of draft picks, not a running back, I would assume, is coming out on the mock draft. Drops today, right? You and Unicero, character concerns?
Yeah, well, it's coming out today. We're gonna do more and more mocks, of course, but there won't be a running back in the first round. The running back we had in the mock the last time in the third round decided he's going back, and that's the big thing in college football right now. Guys are getting too much money thrown. Ty Simpson's leaving Alabama to the NFL because he's going to probably be at the end of the first round, something like this. But Miami, Ole Miss, Miami came in with like $6.5 million. Ole Miss, Tennessee are all throwing money at him, but more and more guys are, you know. If you're not going to be a first-round pick, it might be better, more beneficial for you to stay in college, and that's what we're seeing more and more where these guys are staying instead of going to the NFL, which in the end, it only helps the NFL's product, getting a more mature player when they get to the NFL. But I do like running back situations, but I still can't be talked in to the first round. You know, the funny thing is two teams in our division took running backs in the first round. Mm-hmm. The Raiders have the first pick in the draft this year. They selected a running back in the first round. The Chargers selected a running back in the first round and got their ass kicked. And you just don't do it in the first round. So you get in the second round, you get in the third round. Matter of fact, guys, if you took the top 10 rushers from the NFL this year, only four of them are first-round picks. Yeah. If you look at the playoffs, who made the playoffs, who took the top 10 rushers, only four made the playoffs as far as that's concerned. So it's very, very important as a team for rushing yards because clearly the teams that are left, four of the eight that are left, are in the top 10 in rushing as a team, but you can get good value in the second and third. I still think third round is a great place for a running back.
How do you feel about most likely Eric Bieniemy back as offensive coordinator?
I mean, not wild about it. I'm not never wild about retreads. I understand the desire because I don't think it's one of those positions where you have the total authority to do what you want. Like, you don't come in here and be able to call everything you want because Andy Reid is the head coach. So it takes either two types of personality. One that understands that Andy Reid
only himself will be Ben.
You keep playing South Bend.
It just loads.
But you need a guy that can, you know, kind of check the ego and understand Andy calls the plays because you're dealing, you know, you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes that he's got to orchestrate this offense with. So I don't think it's the best answer. I think it would help the running game because Eric Bieniemy is a tremendous running backs coach. But he had his chance. Once he left Kansas City, he had a chance, you know, to kind of do things. I'm not wild about it. But again, who are they really going to bring in besides a guy that's, you know, a passing game coordinator or something like this? You're not going to get a viable former head coach or, you know, an offensive coordinator. I'm okay with it. I'm not wild about it because I don't like retreads. Never have.
Binkley, last one. Who's going to be in championship weekend, AFC side, NFC side?
AFC side. I'm going to go ahead and just say New England on the AFC, even though Houston's the team I'd rather see in what D'Amico Ryans is doing on the NFC, Seattle. I'd rather see Seattle win the whole thing because that's just a scenario with not a lot of storylines where not everybody's going to bill up and idiots like Colin Coward are going to be calling Sam Darnold the greatest quarterback in the NFL, which he would with Josh Allen. I mean, it would be Josh Allen's world if they win. There's probably 15 more Hallmark movies if he wins the Super Bowl. Give it to Sam Darnold.
And then do you think you get a home run in the new Kauffman Stadium?
Oh, gosh, no. I don't think so, Dusty, but maybe when I was younger I could. But I'll tell you this much, how exciting is that? Seriously, when I saw that news, I mean, so many times at Kauffman Stadium you see that ball just go to the warning track or whatever, and you know what happens. But man, it's exciting. I mean,
I'd have been more excited with a bat.
Huh?
I would have been more excited if they signed a bat.
Well, I mean, that's is something they could tangibly do. I am concerned for the Royals pitchers, though, because it was one of the draws of pitching with the Kansas City Royals is that Fins was so far back, but that's out of the equation now. But yeah, I'm with you. They should have signed a bat.
All right, Bink, much love, and we will be ready for that mock draft to drop. Can't wait to see where they go in the second round. That's where I think they really get a valuable pick in this year's draft. But Bink, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Good stuff, fellas. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, Jay.
It's Jay Binkley. Coming up on the other side, we get to talk about what this stadium news yesterday had in store for the Royals. Jack Caglione, 55 home runs coming up in 2026. You heard it first here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Be brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.